is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
We begin the story of Martha. It is more than 19 centuries ago in the little town of Bethany. Two sisters and a brother lived together in a humble home on the edge of the town.
Is that you, Lazarus?
Yes, Martha. I'm home.
Oh, I'm coming in as usual. No doubt sandals covered with mud. Oh, I knew it. Why can't you remember to wipe your feet? Here I've been all afternoon trying to make the house tidy, and now look at the floor.
Oh, Martha, how can I think about the floor when the place is full of tempting smells from the kitchen? Come, Martha, I'm starving.
Only a few hours ago you ate enough lunch for three men.
Well, I'm as hungry as all three of them again. Is Mary home?
She's home, for a wonder. She's out in the garden gathering flowers. Supper won't be ready for a little while yet, but before it is, I want you to go and put on your best clothes.
My best clothes? What for?
We're having a guest. Now run along. I've got no time to talk.
Oh, Martha, tell me, who's coming?
The great preacher from Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth? Well, how did that happen?
Well, when I was at the spring for water this afternoon, a company of men stopped and asked if they might drink from the gourd.
Well, go on. What then?
Well, I turned with my gourd in my hand, and it was he. Some of his disciples were with him, and they said they were passing through the town, and I asked if he'd come here for supper tonight, and he said he would.
Oh, Martha, at last I shall see him.
And when I came back, who should be here but your sister Mary? If I'd known she would be here for supper, I'd never have invited any company. Now I don't know what to do. Many a preacher in Israel would refuse to remain in the same room with her. And even if he does speak to her, Lazarus, will she answer him? You know how little patience she has with preachers.
Don't worry about it now, Martha. Tell me, what's he like?
I've enough on my mind without answering questions. There's work enough here for 10 women, and Mary's no help at all.
To think I shall see him. Speak with him.
Did I not ask you to go and prepare for supper? Hurry along now to the well and wash your face and hands and smooth down your hair. My, how anyone can get so dirty. Here, take this gourd with you and bring back some water. Hurry now.
All right, I'll hurry. Jesus, the prophet. I shall meet him at last.
What's that you're saying, Lazarus?
Oh, it's you, Mary. I'm glad you're home.
Then you're the only member of the family that is. Martha almost wept when I came in.
Well, Martha's worried about many things. Lest her bread should burn, lest there should be a speck of dust on the furniture, lest the...
The great teacher and prophet retreat in anger from our door once he discovers the family disgrace is inside the house. Why don't you say it, Lazarus? I know what she's thinking.
Mary, dear, why do you say such things?
Because it's the truth, isn't it? Well... If he retreats from the door in anger, he shall see how much I care. I know his kind.
I wonder if you do.
Do you remember the day I went with you to the temple and the Pharisee turned aside for fear his garment should touch me?
But if he doesn't, Mary, if he speaks no word of anger to you, you will speak with him. I wish you would.
Perhaps. If I'm in the mood for speech.
Mary, hurry in with those flowers. And Lazarus, will you please make ready for supper?
Such mingled feelings must have filled the hearts of those three, and such anxieties distressed their minds. And then the Master came.
You are welcome to our humble home, Master.
Peace be with thee, Martha.
And this is my brother Lazarus, and this is my sister Mary.
Mary of Magdala.
Peace be with you, Lazarus, and you, Mary.
Rest here, Master, where the breeze from the door will refresh and cool you. Lazarus, bring some water for our guest's feet and hands. And if you'll excuse me, there's something I must tend to.
Martha returned to her duties in the kitchen. After a little while, there came to her a murmur of voices. Mary's voice, at first scornful and resentful, then changing to reverence and friendliness. The Master's gentle voice was too low for her to distinguish the words it uttered. And after Martha's first relief that he had not turned from Mary in horror and condemnation, a thronging legion of thoughts came into her mind.
It was you who invited him here. This is your house.
You've been good all your life. You've worked hard. But even now you're laboring that everything for the evening meal may be good.
You're the one who has the respect of all the town. And yet it's she, your beautiful sister, who entertains the guest, while you work like a slave in the kitchen.
It isn't fair that you should do all the work. Let her help you.
You were so generous and noble, being treated like a servant in your own home.
Call her. Bid her help you.
Well, I will call her. It's only fair that she should help me. Mary! Mary!
She doesn't pay any attention. Call her again, louder.
Mary! I need your help!
Even that doesn't bring her. Go to the door. Look at her. Sitting there at his feet, looking into his face. How beautiful she is.
Nonsense. Pretty as it pretty does. She's a lazy, selfish girl.
Well, if she won't hear you, speak to him. Let him realize what an ungrateful sister you have.
I will. Lord, is it no concern of yours that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell her, therefore, to help me.
Martha. Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Yet only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her.
Oh, Martha, let supper wait. It isn't important. And then, Master, is it possible that the Father on high will hear the prayer of one who has sinned, will welcome back the penitent?
Mary, what man having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which is lost until he finds it. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. I say to you that even so, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 just who have no need for repentance.
Oh, Master, Master, never have I heard one speak as you speak. Jesus, Lord, tell me, what must I do to be saved?
So Martha went back to her kitchen, and now her thoughts were even more deeply troubled.
The prophet speaks to her, the sinner, not to me who all my life have kept the law.
What does this mean? Are only sinners close to God's heart? Does a life of virtue count for nothing at all?
You've kept the house clean and neat. You've had well-cooked meals on time for all your family. You spend all your strength in the service of others, and yet it's Mary he notices. Mary, to whom he speaks intimately and as a friend.
There's a mystery here. Be careful, Martha. Judge not too harshly.
What were his words? Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her.
What does he mean, the better part?
So the blessed friendship with the teacher and prophet of Galilee began. And that night, when he had left their home...
Never have I heard such eloquence. No wonder Peter and Andrew and the others left everything to follow him. Have you ever seen one like him, Martha?
What did you say, Lazarus?
I asked if you had ever seen one like him. Some say that he is the Son of God. I could believe that.
Come now and help me replace these dishes. The house must be put in order before we sleep.
How can you think of housework at such a moment?
Oh, someone has to be practical. It's all very well to sit around and discuss religion and philosophy, but the work of the world must be done just the same. Mary!
She doesn't even hear you. Ever since he left, she's been sitting there, hearing and seeing nothing. Mary, what are you thinking of?
He said there would be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. He said the Father's love and mercy extended to every one of us who seek it in penitence and love.
Oh, what's the matter with both of you? You're like people moving in their sleep, so enthralled you are by the preacher's words. Well, I have work to do.
On his way up to Jerusalem, the Lord stopped at the home in Bethany. Between the sisters and the brother and himself, a blessed friendship grew. And then came that dark day.
Oh, if only Jesus were here. I know he'd help Lazarus. Free him from the pain of tortures and so.
Oh, our poor little brother. Breaks my heart to see him lying there so still. And only last week I scolded him for tracking mud in on the floor. If he gets better, I'll never scold him again.
Don't you think we should send for him? Unless he comes and heals our brother, Lazarus will die.
Such fevers are always fatal. I know Jesus could help. And yet, have we the right to send for him?
There is danger for him in Judea. Only yesterday at the marketplace, I heard that people tried to stone him when he walked through the streets.
Mary, he need not come here. He can speak the word that will restore Lazarus to health, even though he be absent. I'm sure of it.
Then let us send the neighbor's boy with a message to him.
Yes. Yes, tell him to say only, he whom you love is sick. And when he receives that message, I know our brother will be helped.
Days passed. Mary and Martha kept vigilance at the boy's sickbed, hoping, waiting, praying for some sign of recovery. But none came. Then Lazarus died. And the small house was crowded with neighbors come out of sympathy to weep with the weeping sisters.
Death comes to us all, Martha.
But not so young. Oh, my brother. My only brother. Would that I could have died instead.
Did you receive no answer from the prophet of Galilee?
Not as yet.
Yet my boy gave him your message. When you're in trouble, the prophet seems to have little thought for your friendship.
He has not forgotten us.
So you said the day of the funeral. That was 4 days ago. Surely by this time, you should have had some word of sympathy from him, at least.
Oh, here comes young Benjamin running up the road.
It's the prophet! The prophet of Galilee! He's here! The village.
He has come. Oh, I shall go and meet him. I can't bear that he should hurry to the house only to find he's come too late. Are you coming, Mary?
I will wait here. Surely he will have some message that will ease the pain within my heart.
Martha walked along the familiar road, where 4 days ago the funeral train had stirred the deep dust. Tears blinded her eyes. Her heart was heavy. Even before she reached the little group of disciples around the master, grief forced a cry from her lips.
Oh, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Your brother shall rise, Martha.
I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe it?
I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God.
And Mary, where is she?
She's at home with some friends who came to mourn with us. But you're weary from your journey. Rest here in the shade, and I will bring her with me. Oh, Master, I'm so comforted now that you are here.
And the neighbors followed the two sisters as they returned along the road. And among themselves...
Perhaps they'll all visit the tomb and weep there.
Could not he who cured the blind prevented this death? Why didn't he come when they called for him?
See how Mary casts herself at his feet.
Oh, and the prophet himself weeps. Now truly I can believe that he loved him.
Listen to what they're saying.
Master, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died.
Where have you laid him?
Come and see. His brother's dead.
They go to the tomb.
Truly the prophet loved Lazarus. His face is wet with tears.
We use this cave in the hillside as a tomb, Master.
Take away the stone.
You don't understand, Lord. It is 4 days since the burial. We cannot remove the stone now.
Take away the stone.
The disciples place their hands on the stone. They're rolling it back.
I cannot bear to look. Opening a tomb.
The prophet lifts his face to heaven.
Father, I know that thou always hearest me. But because of the people who stand round, I speak, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Lazarus, come forth.
There is a movement within the tomb. The dead man rises. He stands. He moves to the door. He is still bound in his grave clothes.
Unbind him and let him return home.
My God. Lazarus! Is it you?
Oh, Lazarus. Dearest brother. Lazarus. Master, I thank you.
Lazarus, speak if you can.
I have been on a far journey. Why are you all weeping? Why am I here?
It is our brother Lazarus returned again to life. Now truly must all know that the prophet is what he claimed, the Son of our Almighty Father, who is in heaven.
Now the Master's earthly ministry drew towards its close. And when he began that last journey to Jerusalem, he knew it was to terminate in his death. His heart turned again to the humble home in Bethany. So 6 days before that fatal Passover.
Is that you, brother?
It is, Martha.
Well, hurry and make yourself ready for supper.
Well, I see no sign of supper here.
We're going out. Lazarus, Jesus is here. He and his disciples go to Jerusalem for the Passover.
Well, where are they now?
They've gone to the home of Simon, where we're invited to join them.
Simon's home? You mean Simon, who lives near the marketplace?
Yes, why?
But Simon is a member of the Pharisees and no friend of the Lord. Well, why should he invite the Master to supper, to say nothing of ourselves?
Perhaps he's curious to see this prophet of whom all the village and city talk. And surely he's curious to see you, who's risen from the dead. And as to myself, well, I'm known as the kind of guest who lends a hand with the serving.
And Mary?
I said we were invited. You know, Simon would not invite Mary to such a gathering. And even if he did, I don't think that Mary would consent to be included among his guests.
So Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those at the table with the Lord and his disciples. But as the supper was in progress, Mary came bringing an alabaster jar of ointment. And while all present stared, she approached the master, and kneeling, pressed her face to his feet, and weeping, bathed his feet with her tears, then wiped them dry with her heavy hair. Finally, she broke the jar of ointment, and while its fragrance filled the room, anointed his feet with the oil. And Simon the host muttered to the guest at his right,
"If this man were really a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this was touching him. She's a sinner."
"Simon, I have something to say to you."
"I am listening."
"A certain moneylender had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii, the other 50. As they had no means of paying, he forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more?"
"Why, he to whom he forgave most."
"You judge rightly. Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to you, her sins, many as they are, shall be forgiven her, because she has loved much. But he to whom little is forgiven, loves little."
And to Martha, as she watched the scene, came certain thoughts.
"How the master has changed the lives of all three of you. Mary, penitent, and at peace. Lazarus, dead and restored to life again. And you?"
"You, Martha, who once thought it was more important to clean a house and cook a good dinner than to listen to his words. You, too, have changed. When Lazarus died, you learned the value of a house compared with the loved ones who dwell in it. You have not loved the Lord as Mary loves him, nor has he given you the fullness of affection that he's given her. The world will always point to Mary as the one of all his friends who loved him most. Do you mind?"
"No longer do I mind, for he's healed my soul of jealousy and bitterness. Mary's is the better part. But mine, too, has been blessed forever by his sacred friendship."